Now turn in God's Word to Luke chapter 10 and follow along in your copies of God's Word as I begin reading in Luke 10 verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." This ends the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to it and to the others that we will look at, that we would be doers of His Word. Originally, as you probably remember, I had planned on preaching a mini-series between now and the holidays on the family. And today, I had considered, we were going to be considering what the Bible says about a wife that honors God. However, since we just spent the last couple months looking at God's design for the church, I thought maybe it was timely to broaden this instead and to look at the example of a couple ladies in the Bible who were followers of Christ. And by doing so, to recognize the value and the importance that Christ put on godly women in the church. Godly women who are followers of Him. And so in Luke 10, we're introduced to two sisters. And Lord willing, next time we'll look at godly men. We'll look at a couple examples of some of the disciples of Christ. And men maybe that aren't as prominent as some of the others. But here we're introduced to these two sisters, Martha and Mary. Two godly women whom Jesus loved. But as we can clearly see, these sisters also loved Him. Mary showed her love by sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking in as much as she could of His teaching, while Martha showed her love by serving Him diligently. And through the examples of Martha and Mary, I hope that we will be encouraged to excel in our service, but to do so out of a heart that truly craves God's Word. We're going to start with Martha's service, and then we'll see Mary's devotion to learning from Jesus and how both of them needed a gentle correction of our Lord. First, a godly woman, following Martha's example, a godly woman is a servant in the church. Look at verse 38. It introduces us as they went on their way. Jesus entered a village. Now, prior to this, they had just had an exhaustive amount of ministry. This was right after Jesus had sent the disciples out, and they came back. He sent the 72 out, and they were busy, busy, busy in ministry, and Jesus needed some time away from all that. And they went and entered this village. Other passages, we know it's in Bethany. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Many pastors have pointed out that the ladies both loved Jesus, but demonstrated it in different ways. One writer said this, "Mary's bent was to meander through life, pausing to smell the roses. Martha was more likely to pick the roses, cut the stems at an angle, and arrange them in a vase with baby's breath and ferns." Different personalities. J.C. Ryle, a century ago, described them this way. Said, "Martha, when Jesus came to her house, rejoiced to see him and busied herself with preparing suitable refreshments. Mary also rejoiced to see him, but her first thought was to sit at his feet and hear his word. Grace reigned in both hearts, but the two women showed the effect of grace in different ways." And that's one of the things that I hope we see today. The effect of God's grace being demonstrated in different ways to both of these ladies. Martha, you might say, was the responsible one. The type who would always volunteer, but probably so that she could make sure things were done right. And she excelled at it. She had the gift of hospitality, no doubt. That was unquestionably clear. The gift that Paul and Peter would later write about in their letters. In fact, as an example, in Romans 12, Paul wrote, "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." Now, that's not just the gift of hospitality. That's to be done by all of us. That we are all to show hospitality, to be hospitable. Peter wrote also about hospitality, but he got more pointed in about our attitude as we are hospitable. In 1 Peter 4:9, he says, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That gets to the heart, doesn't it? That was Martha's struggle, right? And I know I've seen it in my heart as well, and I'm sure that most of you have struggled with it too. Martha needed a gentle rebuke from her master, a correction to her attitude. And I think it's easy to see that our culture really isn't that different today. People aren't any different today. We don't like to be still. We don't like to be quiet. It drives us crazy. We have this feeling that if we're not doing something, saying something, or planning something, then we're just not productive, and we have to be productive, or our life, we're just wasting our time. Oh, probably 3 decades ago, maybe, my dad preached a sermon entitled QWERTY, Q-W-E-R-T-Y. And he used this illustration as a main point in the sermon. Back in the 1870s, the leading manufacturer of typewriters received many complaints. Now, you children, typewriters are a machine. A machine that has letters on it that you would strike, and the key would hit the piece of paper with a ribbon between it, and ink would be on the piece of paper. And instead of handwriting, they would type. And if they became very skilled at it, they would type very fast, and each letter had a different key, and the keys would sometimes jam if you became so skilled and so fast. Well, this typewriter company received many complaints about the keys sticking together. They kept jamming. So management told the engineers, find a solution. Now, as you can imagine, there's two possible solutions. You either speed up the machine, or you slow down the operator. And thus we have the QWERTY configuration, Q-W-E-R-T-Y, the first 6 letters on top row. It's an inefficient configuration of the letters. I mean, just think about it. In that time especially, the right hand, the most dominant finger, the index finger, 6 of the 7 keys of the index finger are very seldom used letters compared to the rest. And each vowel is given a different finger to strike with. I mean, wouldn't it be a lot faster if one finger hit all 5 vowels? I mean, can you imagine how fast you could type? Well, that was the problem. They needed to slow the operator down, and it worked. And thus we have still today the QWERTY configuration on a keyboard. Now, the point that my dad was making and the point that I'm making today as well is the idea of slowing down on purpose is detestable to our culture. We don't want to slow down. We want to speed everything up. But sometimes we need to just stop and be quiet and be still before the Lord. Martha, just slow down. Stop. Be still before your Savior. Our lives are jamming with all kinds of activities. Martha shows us that this has always been a struggle. Jesus comes into their home, and Mary was content to be still and to be with the Lord. Martha can't do it. She has to be busy. Luke says that she was distracted with much serving. And so it is with us, right? Our world is so busy. Our lives are so full, and we like it that way because a busy life makes us feel important. And we think that people will value us more if we're really busy and we show we got a lot of commitments and look at me, look at all that I'm doing. And rather than finding our joy in being loved by Jesus, we crave everything else to validate ourselves. We fall into the trap of believing that if we're busy, then we're important. But it's okay to slow down, to be quiet, and to be still before the Lord. Now, it's also very important to recognize that what Martha was doing was not bad. It was the attitude by which she was doing what she was doing. Her service was good. She was taking care of the master, serving the people. That was good. It was the attitude of her service that needed to be corrected. Again, Luke says that she was distracted. The word literally means to be dragged away. She was pulled away by something that was taking her away from something that was much better. She had a list of things that had to get done, and she lost sight of Jesus, the one that she was supposed to be serving. I think it's very easy for us to fall to this very same temptation, whether you're an officer in the church, a Sunday school teacher, or you're busy in the food pantry, or working or serving with the choir, or any number of other good activities of the church. If we allow ourselves to be distracted from our Savior, then like Martha, we'll be vulnerable to self-pity. I mean, it's really what we see in her. The more she thought about everything that had to get done, the sorrier she felt for herself. There's so much to do, and look at Mary just sitting there. Nobody is helping me. We all know the feeling all too well, right? I can't even begin to tell me how many times I have personally felt this way, and I know that some of you have felt this way too because I've heard you complain. Nobody around here does enough. But it's not true. That's absolutely not true. We don't fall into the category of 20% doing 80% of the work. It's amazing to me as I look through the directory sometimes how many of you are serving in some way. The challenge for us today through Martha is not to serve more, but to guard our heart while we serve. You're good at serving. Guard your heart. Serve with Christ as the foremost reason for your service. If only Martha would have spent time with Christ instead of indulging self-pity. I mean, it can happen so quickly, right? For Martha, it happened in the amount of time it took to prepare a meal. One minute she welcomed Christ into her home, the next minute she's busy preparing the meal, the next minute she's in the living room making a scene. It happened so quickly. But notice how Jesus was so gentle in his correction. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. He doesn't take sides. He doesn't send Mary back into the kitchen or tell Martha that she should be more like her sister. He gently shows Martha that she's too anxious about many things that are of lesser importance to him. He doesn't diminish the value of her service, but he points out the priority should be on him and not on her. She was allowing her work to keep her from hearing God's word. And that leads us to Mary's example. A godly woman is a servant in the church. And secondly, through Mary, we see a godly woman is a student of God's word. It says in verse 39 that Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. You may not have realized this, but if you do a quick search of this Mary within the New Testament, you'll find at least three times. And each time, she finds herself at the feet of Jesus. I normally read the ESV, but sometimes I also pick up a paraphrase called The Message. It's not even close to the original Greek, but it does sometimes help to add possibly what the original intent was of the writer. And in this case, I like the way it's described. It says she was hanging on every word that Jesus said. Sitting at his feet, hanging on every word that came out of his mouth. Mary wasn't worried about a clean house or a fine dining experience. She was focused on Christ. And when Luke said that she was sitting at his feet, it implies that she was sitting in the front row. She was right there. She didn't want to miss a word. She wanted to hear everything that he was saying. But it also implied a desire to submit herself to him. It's an act of submission. Prior to this, in Luke 10, an expert of the law stood up to question Jesus. It was a confrontation. He stood to test Jesus, but Mary was content to sit and listen, to soak up as much as she could. And I could go into in more depth of a woman sitting at the feet of a rabbi, which was absolutely unheard of, but that's not the main point for us here. In Martha, we see the value of serving Christ with the right heart. But in Mary, we see the value and importance of receiving his word that gives us the freedom to serve. We must learn to keep them to keep both of these in balance. Some of us love to serve and be active. Others love to sit and learn. Both are tremendously beneficial to the family of God. But they must be maintained in the proper balance. We all know all too well that this life that we enjoy is far too short. We must value the time that we have with Christ. There are so many things in our lives that are important. But this moment in time, this time every week as we hear the Word of God, ought to be of utmost importance to us. As we gather together as God's people to hear His Word read and proclaimed, and whether it's this setting on Sunday morning or in a home Bible study on during the week, we must hunger to hear the Word of God. Without question, the most important responsibility that I have as your pastor, that Pastor Tim and I have as your pastors, is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Without question. Calendar meetings and budget meetings, Christian education meetings, planning a mission trip, officer training, counseling. I mean, the list goes on of the responsibilities that a pastor has in a church. But the single most important thing that we must do is preach the Word of God. The preparation of the proclamation of God's Word is of utmost importance. You know, I oftentimes joke about going to a coffee shop and finding a quiet corner to write. That's so I can escape the office. It's not to get away from work, it's to be able to truly work well. I told someone this past week, there's a dozen projects in my office at any one moment, or phone calls to take, or conversations to be part of, and I've got to sometimes separate myself for the sake of the preparation of the Word. It is the most important thing. Now we also need to see the beautiful fruit in Martha and Mary that Christ produced. But to do so, we need to go beyond Luke. And we need to see how this interaction with Jesus caused spiritual growth, tremendous growth, in these two ladies. And so turn to John chapter 11. It wasn't that long ago that we looked at this as we went through the Gospel of John. But in John chapter 11, we have the familiar story of Lazarus and his sickness that led to his death. You're probably familiar with it. If you're not, I'm not going to read the whole thing. There's not enough time to read all of John 11 and John chapter 12 today. But in John 11, Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus became very ill. They sent word to Jesus, "The one that you love is sick. Please come." And he waits. And by the time he arrived, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. They were understandably overwhelmed with grief by their brother's death. The family was well known, was highly respected in the community. Many people descended upon their home to comfort them. No doubt, even in her grief, Martha was busy serving the people in her home, a gracious host. But when she heard Jesus was coming, when she heard he was close, look at what John 11, verse 20 says about the two sisters. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, and she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha leaves the house and ran to see Jesus. She learned and applied the lesson that Jesus taught her in Luke 10. The housework and all the guests took a back seat. I'm going to see Jesus. What a transformation of a woman that was committed to serving others and showing hospitality. Now she leaves them to go see Jesus. When Martha heard the news, she went and met him. By this time, Martha had already learned to trust in Jesus. He hadn't been to the cross yet. The resurrection hadn't happened yet, but Martha makes one of the great confessions about Christ in all the New Testament. In John 11, 27, she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." What an incredible confession prior to the crucifixion and the resurrection and his ascension. She says, "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God." Martha got it. She knew. She knew that he was the Son of God. And when she faced the greatest crisis in her lifetime, the death of her own brother, her theology did not waver. It gave her strength. A few months prior to her brother's death, when she was in her living room with Jesus in Luke 10, anxious about all the work that she thought she had to be doing, she learned what was most important. The one thing that should consume us and equip us for every other work. Listen to Jesus. Be devoted to him. Yes, we must be willing to serve him, but we must do so out of a heart that craves him, that craves his word. But where's Mary? Did you notice what it said about Mary? I think the implication here is that they both heard that he was coming. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. In her grief, Mary neglected her Lord. In Luke 10, Martha voiced her resentment toward Mary when she wasn't helping. Well, is it possible that Mary resented her Lord for not coming sooner? I mean, after all, they both mildly accused Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died." Now, we can't be certain why she remained in the house, but clearly that description is included for our benefit. Martha rushed to see Jesus, but Mary remained seated in the house. She didn't rush to see Jesus until Jesus called for her. Oh, again, the gentleness of our Savior. Martha goes back to the house and tells Mary that Jesus wanted to see her, and that's all it took for Mary. And she got up and rushed to see Jesus. The next time we hear about these two ladies, we see the fruit of the transformation in John 12. Jesus returns to Bethany, and the people were having a dinner party, this time celebrating Lazarus being alive. Of course, Martha, all it says about Martha is that Martha was serving. And Mary is found once again at the feet of Jesus. However, on this occasion, she's not accusing him, but she anoints him with a very expensive ointment. It appears that she was one of the only people who understood what Jesus was teaching, that he was going to die. It appears that she knew that he was going to die. She may not have understood, probably didn't understand the entire purpose of his death. But Jesus praised her while the disciples were complaining about her wasting of this expensive ointment, especially Judas. And the other gospel writers tell us that he complained because he was a keeper of the money and he used to pilfer it for himself. But the other gospel writers tell us that they were all complaining about the expense, the waste of this precious ointment. But listen, in Mark's gospel, listen to how Jesus reacted to the complaints of the disciples and how he defends Mary. Listen to what he says. "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could." Listen to the service that she has provided, the worship that she has provided to Jesus. "She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Martha continued serving, but with the right heart. Mary continued sitting at Jesus' feet, facing the challenges of this life with faith in him. Oh, how we need godly women and men in this church who are willing to serve wholeheartedly out of a deep craving for more of Jesus, more of his word. Let's pray.